We Have Concerns is only made possible because of generous donations from our patrons. If you want to be one of those, if you want to help make the show possible and also get extra stuff like bonus episodes, monthly hangouts, other cool stuff, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. Watch that lemony snicket.
Gotta snick it.
Gotta snick it. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Canada.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. We've talked a little bit about before how a lot of emotions feel similarly physically, even though they are very different emotions.
Right. Confuses us.
And it confuses us, and it confuses our body.
Right.
And we have talked a lot before about that. I think it was This American Life that did it, where a guy, every time he got on the plane, would watch Sweet Home Alabama and cry.
Mm-hmm.
People cry on planes.
Right.
The reason people cry on planes is it puts a lot of pressure on your chest and like the sounds are very loud, like the noise floor, and it just feels like a panic attack.
Right.
So we cry on planes more easily. There is a researcher named Ian Robertson.
So just to be clear, what you're saying is the physical sensations that we're experiencing on the plane are similar to physical sensations that we have
during a panic attack.
Right.
Or during like an intensely sad moment.
So our body is like, how I usually deal with this is by being sad, so I'm going to be sad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's often like if you've ever had a chest cold and the chest cold makes you feel like you're going to cry.
Right.
And it's because your body goes, oh, tightness in chest.
Yeah.
This means cry now.
Yeah.
And there's a researcher named Ian Robertson who wrote something in New York Magazine's Science of Us. Science of Us is one of my favorite sites. If you don't go to Science of Us every day, what are you doing with your life? And he was talking about trying to figure out how malleable our emotions are and how we can redirect these emotions, even when we are correctly identifying. So say you're not having you're not sitting on an airplane and you feel the feelings of a panic attack, even though your body is correctly identifying it as a panic attack, can we trick our body into thinking we're feeling something else? To somehow avoid this panic
I am
attack.
Actually having a panic attack, and I just go, I'm on a plane. I'm just flying somewhere,
buddy. That's his research, and that's what he said. He said, always tell yourself you're on a plane, and you'll be fine. He cites a suspension bridge in North Vancouver called the Capilano Suspension Bridge. In 1974, scientists had men cross the Capilano Suspension Bridge, or men were crossing the Capilano.
I would say women could cross just as easily.
Well, listen to this.
Uh-huh.
The Capilano Suspension Bridge teeters and wobbles.
Ooh.
It's very thin. It has railings that really only go up a little bit above knee level, so you know that like nothing is really keeping you on the bridge.
Who built a bridge like that?
Fucking Canada.
What? Morons design a bridge and go, you know what? Let's skimp on some costs. We'll go knee high.
Yeah, but it's sort of like when civil engineers go, don't put guardrails on this mountain road so people drive slower. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they'll drive slower until they die.
So they had these men crossing the Capilano Suspension Bridge.
Hmm.
And on the center of the bridge, they put a beautiful young research assistant.
Oh, reason. Why did the chicken cross the road? Am I right?
Am I right, everybody? Then, further down the river, there's a perfectly reasonably built suspension bridge.
Okay.
With another research assistant.
I like this plan.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Men are crossing the bridge, and both research assistants stop the men in the middle of the bridge. Why is this woman standing in the middle of the bridge? To ask them questions.
Oh.
And she says, hey, I'm just asking some questions. I'm doing some research, blah, blah, blah. Could you write a short story? Just a 3-paragraph short story.
I'm trying to cross a bridge here.
I know. It would really help me out if you could just stop. I used to ask riddles.
Yeah.
But now I'm
Are you a Billy Goat Gruff?
I can neither confirm or deny how gruff or Billy or goat I might be. But right now I'm taking the form of a beautiful young research assistant.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I have no riddles for you.
Hmm.
What I need is 3 paragraphs. Just about a story, whatever you want.
My story is going to be about a billy goat's gruff. That looks like a beautiful lady.
Well, actually, Jeff, most stories on the Capilano Suspension Bridge were like sexy stories.
Oh.
Men just wrote sexy stories on the regular ass bridge.
About
men wrote,
getting it on a bridge?
Yeah, right? And then men on the regular bridge just wrote regular ass stories.
They're like, my story is called Bridge Love.
Bridge Love. And maybe you want to read it with me sometime. And that's the other thing. The men on the teetering bridge.
Yeah. Well, even also, they, you know what they say? If the bridge is teetering, don't come a tweetering.
Yeah, I feel like you should have interrupted me for that one. So the men on the teetering bridge also attempted to make a personal connection with the research assistant after writing the story, whereas men on the regular bridge didn't. They were like, have a nice day.
Hey, here's my story. I just wanted to, what
kind of stories have you been getting?
What kind of music do you like?
Maybe we could talk about what stories you've been getting. I'm really interested in your research.
It's so weird that we're both here at the same time on this bridge. Do you come to this bridge often? Yeah. What's your zodiac sign? And do you like
Billy
stories?
I mean, not Billy Goat. I mean, I'm not a bridge shoal or a Billy Goat. Oh. So this researcher, Ian Robertson, was like, wait a minute. This really confirms sort of this Hollywood idea that we have where like people
men are stupid.
No, people in stressful situations bone, right? Ah. Think about every disaster movie you've ever seen, every action movie. It's like, they're going to kill us, but not tonight.
I don't think you know how sex works.
Neither do they.
Yeah, clearly.
Neither do they.
Okay.
Because in all actuality, when you have a heightened stress response,
mm-hmm.
your body goes into fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
You're putting out so much cortisol, there's no way you want to have sex. A lot of people physically cannot have sex when they're stressed.
That's a good point.
Most people can't. But it feels kind of similar to us.
Yeah.
So what he was wondering, what made these dudes think that they wanted to bone when in reality, they felt like they were going to fall off a bridge? There's no way that, they should have been able to misinterpret that feeling.
That age-old question. What makes you want to bone when it feels like you're going to fall off a bridge?
That was a Tom Petty song.
Yeah, it was.
I think.
Because I'm free.
Free falling. That's a hilarious parody of Free Falling that I came up with when I was 12.
Yeah, no, that's
good.
And
so did everybody else.
Yeah.
So he's been doing a lot of research in this. He's been saying, how can we turn scaredy feelings potentially into sexy feelings or excited feelings? Is the only difference between being scared and being excited just the way we think about it?
Here's the problem with this, Anthony. I don't need more sexy feelings.
No.
I need less sexy feelings.
You gotta keep these sexy feelings in check.
I'm being serious here.
You
I need to be less horny.
I'm a sexual dynamo.
It does not help for me to turn every instance into more wanting sexy time.
I am the least sexual dynamo there is. I am mostly thinking about Thai food and video games all day. There's not.
All right.
Not
well,
I could probably use a couple more sexy feelings, in all honesty.
So, did he figure it out? How to turn fear into lust?
Well, he looked at it, and it really does seem to be something that we have talked about before. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Hmm. And that's really what it all comes down to.
Pessimist says we're all going to die. An optimist says
we're all
going to get some. maybe right now.
What Shakespeare called the little death. Wink, wink, wink. Lil Death, by the way.
Lil Death?
Lil Death is my new hip-hop name.
Oh, that's actually really good. Lil
Thanks,
Death.
Man. Lil Death.
Yeah.
He was looking at sort of the surroundings and the conditions that make people interpret negative feelings positively.
Hmm.
They did another experiment. One of these experiments they did was they literally would have people come into... They would literally inject people with adrenaline is where this is going.
Oh, all right.
Half the people go into a room with a happy, jokey, like fun dude.
Is he hot?
I mean, he's probably hot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's got like sweet pectoral
muscles. It's not really about that.
Okay. Sorry.
You know what I mean?
I just want to create a mental image for myself.
Yeah, sure. He's
like
probably,
I said, I need
His biceps are probably half as rippling as mine, which
well,
is
that's still pretty good.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah. How are his quads? Like, does he skip leg day?
He skips leg. I'm not going to lie to you.
Goddamn idiot.
So half of them go into a room with this super happy guy who's like making jokes and hanging out. The other half goes into a room with a guy that they're told is another subject, and he's just mad. He's just pissed, right? And then these people get injected.
Gee, I wonder what those two rooms are like.
Yeah.
They didn't call either of us for this experiment.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's fine. And who knows who these two guys were and whether we were involved? Who knows?
Nobody knows.
They inject everybody who comes in with adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch what happens to them when they're hanging out with these two different people. The people who are injected with adrenaline and were around the happy guy, got super happy and were like goofing around back.
Mm-hmm.
The people who got injected with adrenaline in the room with the angry guy got fucking mad.
It just amplified whatever the feeling of the room was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's sort of like, look, we just take these cues subconsciously from people.
We're sheep.
We're sheep. How do we like, how can we just like always tell ourselves that we're in a cool situation? And the answer is, you just tell yourself you're in a cool situation. Wow.
It really is all of the stupid fucking self-help books at the bookstore.
I hate it, but this is what this guy found.
It is just the secret. It's the secret. It's decide that the reality that you want and it will be the reality.
To an extent. What it is like the secret is like one day I'm going to be a millionaire and I'm putting out there I'm a millionaire and so the universe is going to give it to me. I'm living a millionaire life. No, that shit does not work.
Right.
But they quoted Tiger Woods where he was like, the day I'm no longer nervous is the day I quit.
Yeah, right? He probably should quit now, though.
He should probably just quit,
I mean, he's
dude.
He's very bad now.
But he is the sort of person where he says, when he gets nervous, he says to himself, I'm excited. I'm obviously ready for this.
Right. He interprets the physical sensation that we would all think is negative as positive.
Right.
He says, oh, it's a good thing because it means I'm in a high-stakes situation.
Because here's the trick, Jeff. Just like sitting on an airplane crying a Sweet Home Alabama, being scared and being excited are physiologically exactly the same. Your heart starts beating faster. You start breathing heavily because you want to flood your body with oxygen.
Right.
Your body stops the digestion process. Right?
Yeah.
All of this stuff is exactly the same. The only thing that differs about it is what we tell ourselves we're experiencing.
So anytime I'm worried, I just go back in my head to Bone Down Bridge. Just pretend I'm in Bone Down Bridge again.
Yeah.
And it'll all be great.
Midnight Race on Bone Down Bridge was like my favorite Hardy Boys novel.
Well, that was a little adult version
it was
of
like, that was the year was they became the Hardy Men.
Hardy Men.
That was it. But no, so yeah, you really can just sort of tell yourself, I'm excited. This is my body telling me that something big is about to happen.
Right. Well, you hope it's everything. Big. She might disagree.
Yeah. Maybe it's something small.
It's okay. It's still something.
It's all about the way you use the thing when it's happening.
Do you think you can apply this in your real life? Do you think you can actually? Because I feel like this is easier said than done.
It is. And I think the trick is repetition of this nervous situation, because I'm at the point now, you know, a very common fear is stage fright, right? A lot of people have stage fright. A lot of people have fear of public speaking. My entire job is public speaking.
Right.
Your entire job is public speaking.
Right.
It's not that I don't get amped up or physiologically nervous anymore before I go on stage or before I shoot something.
Yeah.
My body just knows that this is what we want.
Yeah.
At this point, I've been in that situation so much that I go, this is just the way I feel before a show. I'm fucking ready.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, and that's the trick is like, how do I do that when, say, like, if I'm a nervous flyer, how do I get my body to say the same thing? How do I get my body to say, just like when I go on stage, I'm excited because something big is supposed to happen. How do I get my body to say, I'm stoked to be on this trip?
Yeah.
And the trick is, you never tell yourself you're calm. When they ask people to tell themselves that they were calm in these situations,
your mind rebels.
It didn't help.
Right. It's like, don't think of an elephant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm calm. And your body's like, motherfucker, I am not calm.
Right.
We are not calm right now.
Right.
If you're interpreting this as calm, we have a serious disconnect.
Yeah.
Ah!
Right. Yeah.
So you have to tell yourself.
Interpret this as the sound of Bone Down Bridge.
Yeah.
Because that's like, also what happens there.
This is just like, we're just going at it on Bone Down Bridge. You actually, even though it's called Bone Down Bridge, you should not have sex on Bone Down Bridge. Because once again, those handrails are very low.
Oh.
And it's very dangerous. Rickety. It's a very rickety
bridge.
That's
kind of what's so fun about it.
Yeah.
It's how rickety and dangerous Bone Down Bridge is.
That's why people want to have sex on Bone Down Bridge.
Oh, I know.
Even though physiologically we know that's not true. We know that people can't be scared of Bone Down Bridge and have sex.
And yet,
thousands of Canadian children.
Born of Bone Down Bridge.
Conceived on.
The Bone Down Bridge generation.
Live on Bone Down Bridge.
Their entire lives.
We call them bridge children. And they've never left Bone Down Bridge their whole life. It's something they call us. They call us solid landers, and they don't understand our strange ways.
Yeah.
But they want to bone us.
All of them.
That's what they know.
They're so gruff until they start boning.
Do you think that you would have, if you were genuinely nervous or scared, do you think that you could have the wherewithal to stop for a moment and go, I'm actually excited.
I'm going to employ this. I'm going to try this. Yesterday, I had a pretty big audition.
Yeah.
And I, like you said, we both, you know, do public speaking. We just did live shows in PAX South in front of a big audience. I don't feel nervous when I do that. I love getting up in front of people and talking and performing and stuff. Mm-hmm. But walking into a room for an audition still gets my...
Because it's those high stakes.
Yeah, I guess. I think I've always interpreted it as more about preparation and feeling like it's really difficult to be completely prepared for a situation where I don't know what's going to happen when I walk into that room.
Right.
And that's what's scary is like, I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know what the physical orientation of the room is going to look like. It's all a lot of question marks.
Jeff cannot audition to the East.
No, that's... Who can?
Who can't? I mean...
I have to greet the sun as it rises.
I've heard that you know, Gary Oldman auditions to the East. And I've heard that Ian Holm can audition to the East all day long.
Well, that's why they're great.
I mean, that's what makes them truly amazing.
Yeah. I mean, someday maybe I can. Someday.
Someday.
Yesterday actually had this experience. My pits were getting sweaty. My heart was racing and I was saying to myself, it's fine. It doesn't matter. It's cool. And I was doing all those things that probably didn't help.
Right.
And I wish, or at least the next time, what I'm going to do in that situation is try to go, this is exactly what I want because I know.
This is the feeling of a big moment.
Yeah.
This is the feeling of something is about to happen.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can. I don't know if I can. I'm very...
It's worth a shot, right?
Yeah. We've talked before about how I'm very... I'm very disconnected from what I'm feeling at any moment.
Right.
Any given moment. And I'm trying not to be. And I'm making good inroads into that. But genuinely what tends to happen is if I have a big emotional response, my brain disengages. And then I just kind of go into routine mode.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's good or bad. It's probably bad most of the time. That's something that I'm working through. But I wonder if I would have this sort of self-awareness in the moment to know that I need to switch it up. And so I'm going to try.
Well, I think if you're feeling that sweaty, agitated, heart racing sense of, you know, anxiety, I think maybe that's...
But here's the other thing, Jeff. I'm so cool.
You are very cool.
I'm so cool.
Well, with biceps like that.
With biceps like mine.
Yeah.
And a positive mental attitude.
Yeah.
Like mine. It's hard to even, does my heart even beat fast? I don't know. Probably not. I wonder when the last time my heart even beat it was.
Yeah, it might not be beating at all.
It's probably not even
cool to be
that cool.
Yeah.
I'm like a Swami or Batman.
Or like a dead person.
Or like a dead guy.
Like you're dead inside.
I'm super dead inside.
Yeah. That's so cool though.
We figured it out. We figured out what it is. I'm dead inside.
Yeah.
I wonder if this would work for me because I'm a monster and I'm dead inside.
Hmm.
I guess I'll try.
You should give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot. How do you guys deal with incredibly stressful or nervous situations? Are you able to sort of redirect your feelings into sort of a productive state? We would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
I'm at A Carboni on Twitter.
At Jeff Cannata.
And you can hashtag those.
Bone down bridge.
Bone down bridge. A name, a promise. And hey, if you haven't yet, and we're sure you have because you guys are super amazing. You're wonderful.
They're the best.
They're the best people. We have our concerned citizens are the best people. And we're sure that you have already gone to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to the show and given us a 5-star rating. We're positive.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Because we know that there are exactly the same number of 5-star ratings as there are listeners to the show.
Yeah.
Right, Anthony? Right? There wouldn't be anyone who hasn't done that yet.
It's like the number of stars in the sky. In an apropos analogy.
Times five. Right.
Because the universe of your love is constantly expanding. And we know that beings of pure light like you have already gone and given us the 5-star rating because you know that that bumps us up in the algorithm. It helps us become more discoverable and it helps new concerned citizens find the show.
I mean, if you didn't want to do that, you could always become a patron at Patreon. That's also a nice thing to do.
That's also a very nice thing to do.
One or the other, really.
Yeah. And then you can do a monthly video hangout with us. You can get episodes early. You can get bonus audio. And there's even a tier where we'll send you a little mail every month.
That's
pretty cool. A
little
letter with a little gift inside.
Little actual physical object.
Maybe it's one of my toenails. I don't know. Are you into that? If you're into that, it's toenails. If you're not, cool. Don't be into that.